had a few verses of scripture. You know, that song that she sang, I didn't even ask her to sing that song. I didn't realize it, that she was singing it, until they put it up on the screen, From the Cross to the Grave. Amen. And I'll tell you what, that's what this is all about, from Friday to Sunday. These 3 nights, you know, and people wonder, how do you get 3 nights out of from Friday to Sunday? You do. If you understand the Jewish calendar, it works out really good. But something great happened in those 3 nights. The greatest thing, I remember the thing that came to my mind, we're probably going to play it Sunday morning, as I was studying this afternoon, was I thought about, how many remember Carmen, the singer Carmen? You know, he had cancer. I don't know if anybody knew that, but he's like totally healed and recovered, and he's back. But I went on YouTube and I put The Champion. I don't know if you remember the song The Champion that he did way back when, and thinking about the fight and how Satan did that last blow and he punched him in the chest, you know, and but little did he know, you know. If the song wasn't so long, I'd play it, but I'm not. Amen. Anyway, did you find Matthew chapter 27? All right, I got to get a little used to, because there was like more space, so I have to take smaller steps. All right, let's pray. Father God, we praise you tonight. We thank you for your word. Father, I thank you that it's going to fall on good soil, Lord, and we're going to see tonight the greatest thing that ever happened to us is Jesus going to the cross and resurrection on that Sunday morning. And Father, we praise you for it. We thank you for it. Father, I just pray that you'll meet people at their point of need tonight in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Let's start reading in verse 32 of Matthew chapter 27. And it says, now as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they had come to the place called Golgotha, that is to say the place of the skull, they gave him sour wine mingled with gall to drink. But when he tasted it, he would not drink. Then they crucified him and divided his garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They divided my garments among them, and my clothing they cast lots. Sitting down, they kept watch over him, and they put up over his head the accusation written against him, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. The two robbers were crucified with him on the right, one on the right and one on the left. And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, you who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise, the chief priests also mocking with the scribes and elders said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he is the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross that we might believe in him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. Even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same thing. Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over the land. And you know what amazes me? I'll just stop there for a second. It always is nasty weather on Good Friday. Even today, it wasn't like really nice, you know? It rained and stuff. It's amazing. But anyway, it says, and then about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, Sam... I'm not going to even say that. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Okay. Some of those who stood there, when they heard this, said that he was calling for Elijah. Immediately, one of them ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and offered it to him. And the rest said, leave him alone, and let us see if Elijah will come to save him. And Jesus cried out with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. The earth quaked and the rocks were split. The graves were opened and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised and coming out of the graves, and after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. So when the centurions and those who with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that happened, they feared greatly, saying, truly, he was the Son of God. Now, I'm going to read another verse of Scripture, all right? I just wanted to read that because we're going to be referring to some things in there in a little bit. But it says here, it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, it says, for he made him, speaking of Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That verse of Scripture is known as the great substitution verse. What has taken place when Jesus went to the cross, and by the way, he went on a Thursday, not a Friday, okay? But the point here being is this, that he took our place. It was a substitutionary death for you and me, because you and me could never qualify to save ourselves. We could not be good enough. We just couldn't do it. Jesus was the one who had to come in our place. So this is the great substitutionary verse of Scripture. Jesus became sin for us. Everybody say, he became sin. He became sin, all right? Now, that we might, and we got that word might there, and that's potential. That is, it's potential on us receiving Jesus as our Lord and Savior, all right? He became sin. That we might, and we might do it. If we receive him, then we become the righteousness of God in him, Jesus Christ. But if we don't receive Jesus, we're not going to become the righteousness of God in Christ. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so that's what this verse is important about. Now this, when we read here back in Matthew chapter 27, that actually I got to figure out how I want to say it, okay? But when Jesus was on the cross, and actually the thing happened in the garden, all right? When he was in the garden, that's when Jesus' suffering started. It wasn't on the cross, okay? Luke chapter 22, verse 44 says, his sweat was like drops of blood. He was going through agony. The disciples, he asked them to pray, they fell asleep. How many of you go to pray and you fall asleep? All right. So you were in good company with the disciples. All right. But they were really no good to Jesus, okay? Because they fell asleep. But what was happening here, the reality of becoming the substitute of the human race was now, and he knew it. You know, don't forget, he was 100% God, 100% human being. He came from heaven. He was on the earth, he went to the cross, and then he went to the grave, and then from the grave to the sky. He knew it, but his humanity, there was a human part of Jesus. That's why Hebrews tells us he experienced everything we're going through in life. He knows all the hurts and the pains and everything we go through. So standing, sitting there praying, Jesus was starting to realize that in his humanity, the sin of the world was going to come upon him. And for the first time in his existence, from the beginning of creation till he came into the earth, all the appearances we had of him in the Old Testament, you know, they call theophanies in the Old Testament, a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus. Was that my phone? Back to you, brother. Yeah, wow. Okay, that won't happen no more. I don't know what happened there. That was kind of strange. But anyway, all those times, up until he hung on that cross, even in his humanity, for the very first time, he was going to be separated from his Father. It had to happen. You know, people argue so often about this, about Jesus being separated from God spiritually, but he was. His human spirit. See, God didn't die on the cross. Jesus died on the cross. His humanity died on the cross. His spirit was separated. His human spirit was separated from his heavenly Father because he became sin for us. Where is sin? Sin is in the spirit. It goes on to say that he rose from the dead on the third day. He was made alive where? Not in his flesh, but in his spirit. And that when his spirit received that life back into it, his flesh automatically followed it. Amen? And so, but he did that substitutionary act because he was without blemish. Hebrews, Exodus chapter 12 talks about the Passover being instituted, you know, and it actually says in there how Jesus, well, how when they did the Passover, they had to do it between the evenings, all right? Actually, one translation says it this way. It says, and it shall be for you to keep until the 14th day of this month, and all the assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it between the evenings. Jesus died between two Sabbaths, okay? Because what we have going on at this particular point in time, and I don't know if I brought it out on Sunday, Passover, Palm Sunday started a week of feast. Now there's something called the Feast of Weeks, but this was a week of feast, two different things, all right? In this week was the Feast of Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and finally on Sunday was the Feast of First Fruits, which we're going to be celebrating Sunday, all right? So Jesus, the way that went down, Jesus had to be put on the cross and off the cross because Thursday was a Sabbath, Friday was a Sabbath, and Saturday was a Sabbath. And he could not be on that cross over the Sabbath. So therefore, the crucifixion took place on a Thursday. Okay? By Thursday night, Jesus was taken off the cross by sundown. He was off the cross and in the grave. So you have Thursday nights one night. Then you have Friday all day long is one day. Friday, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. is one day. Friday night, 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. is one evening. Okay? Actually, it says from the third to the ninth hour. The third hour is 9 o'clock. So now you come to Saturday. And Saturday is the second day that Jesus is in the grave. And then Saturday night is the third night, and the Bible says he rose on the third day. Because we often say he was in the earth 3 days and three nights. Nope. He was in the earth 3 nights, 2 days, rose on the third day. All right? Say, so Pastor, why are you saying all this? Because during that time frame, the greatest thing in the world was taking place. Our sins were being paid for. Jesus was literally being ridiculed, mocked. The pain, it says, the Bible says that he was so disfigured that he was unrecognizable because of the sin that was poured on him. For the first time in his life, he was spiritually separated from his Father. He says, he was quoting, my God, why have thou forsaken me? That is Psalm 22. Okay, and it says, matter of fact, let's turn there real quick and just let's look at that for a minute. Because there's some interesting things in Psalm 22. It says in Psalm 22, I'm not going to quote the whole thing, but it just starts out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you forsaken me? He goes, you are so far from helping me. Jesus, for the first time, is crying out from his humanity. God, where are you? See, a person who's not born again doesn't know God, can't experience God. And that's why you hear people say, God, where are you? Unsaved people say that all the time because they're spiritually separated from them. You know, and from the words of my groanings, oh my God, I cry in the daytime and you do not hear me. And in the night season, I am not silent. You are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel's. Our fathers trusted you. And he goes on and on and on. This is a man who walked, who knew God. He was God. God didn't die on the cross. Jesus, the man, died on the cross. Deity, and this is where people get all messed up with this. Deity cannot die. It can't die. Deity cannot die. It just, you can't kill God. But in killing Jesus, what they were killing a man who lived a perfect life, who could pay for our sin. Now, we're going to go back to Genesis in a minute, but I just want to read one more verse here. But I am a worm, and no man, a reproach of men, despised by my people. It's interesting that he uses, I think the King James says that he was crushed. And it's interesting because that word worm there, it was about a special worm. Okay, that had real crimson blood. It was a crimson, real crimson color worm. And it was used for one thing. It was raised and used for one thing. And it was crushed. And a dye was made out of it for the king's robes. See, Jesus was crushed. And his blood cleansed us. Amen. Amen. And you can't get away from that. So he was made sin. For the entire world. He paid the debt of Adam and Eve's sin in Genesis. Romans says in chapter 5, verse 12, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death death spread to all men because all have sinned. We've sinned because of Adam and Eve. We are separated from God because of Adam and Eve. Okay? So, and justice says that our transgressions need to be paid for. They have to be. So on the cross, Jesus becomes a curse for us. It says, cursed is anyone who hangs on a cross. And that's where he suffered for us. We were bankrupt. We really had nothing to... We had nothing to give God. We had nothing to offer God. Absolutely zero. We were helpless and we were a slave to sin. You say, oh, not me. I'm just a good person. Right there, you're just telling me you're a slave to sin. It's called pride. And pride's a sin. Okay. We could never approach God. The Bible says all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. None of us could approach him. There's no way. We could never meet the demands of justice. You know, Adam and Eve, they were in the garden. They sinned. God told them, don't eat of the tree that's of the knowledge of good and evil. Satan came and tempted them. And of a free will, they ate of that fruit. And when they ate of that fruit, they knew the difference between good and evil. Human good and human evil. How many of you know that there is no evil with God? So it could not be God evil. They only knew God good. Because God is good. So now their eyes were open. And they knew the difference between human good and human evil. And that has been the battle from that point on in this world. And we're still doing it today. Good trying to overcome evil. And one thing I've learned in my 67 years on this earth, there's no way human good is going to overcome human evil. The only way it happens is when a person receives Jesus into their heart. Then their heart changes and their attitude changes. Until that happens, it's just human good against human evil. I call it socialism. To you, it's all that socialism is human good. trying to human good, trying to get away, get rid of human evil. And it doesn't help anybody. All it does is put people into more bondage than they already are. And some strange things took place that day. Darkness covered the earth, you know. An earthquake. Creation shook. You know why? Because Jesus was being torn apart from his Father, that the earth couldn't take it. It says everything is contained in Jesus. Colossians says he holds everything together. Do you understand that? Amen. Everything is held together through Jesus. I don't worry about a meteor hitting this earth. I don't worry about global, whatever they call all that stuff. Jesus says, as long as I'm there, this place is staying. Now, I'm not saying we have to be stupid and do stupid things and, you know, and pollute everything, but friend, I am here to tell you, as long as Jesus reigns, this earth, when he says it's over, it's over. And until he says it, it's not going to happen. Amen. Again, human good. But anyway, Jesus is on the cross, and at this point, he's on the cross, and he's being separated from his Father, and the earth can't take it. It says the creation groans. The earth is waiting for us. Romans says the earth is waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. You know who that is? That's us. Amen. The veil in the temple was ripped from the top to the bottom. Not from the bottom. It's still, first of all, the thing was about that wide, okay? So there wasn't like two little rabbis down there just ripping it from the bottom up. Two big angels ripped it from the top down. You know, it's like that story with the Red Sea. You know, they say, oh, well, you know, that wasn't such a big miracle. Where they crossed over, was the water was only 6 inches deep. I look at the person, I heard a person said that one time. I look at him and says, wow, that really was a miracle then, an extreme miracle. They looked at me and said, why? I said, because Pharaoh's army drowned in 6 inches of water. You give them enough rope, they hang themselves. See, and you know what the veil represented? You know, we've been looking at the book of Galatians. The veil represented the law. You know, behind the veil was the Ark of the Covenant. All right? It contained manna. Manna is God's provision for us through Christ. He is our daily bread. We need to partake of him every day. Okay? The law represented God's word to us. And then Aaron's rod that budded, that represents our authority in Christ. So we have God's provision, his word. We have God's law, his word. And we have God's authority, his word. So when you boil it down, it's his word, his word, his word. You know, the old temple was destroyed. Now there's a new temple, us. The Holy Ghost flew out of the ark, flew out from behind that curtain and came and lived in our heart. That's why Jesus, in the Gospel of John, he said he breathed on the disciples. That wasn't for them being filled with the Holy Ghost. That was them being filled with the new birth. Because the new birth came later. The baptism, the infilling of the Holy Ghost came later in Acts chapter 2. But they were born again. And I think about that. You know, when I think about that, they did all those, like they had authority just in the name of Jesus. to go around and cast out devils and heal the sick, and they weren't even born again yet. Got to think about that one. Now we have him living in us, and he's given us the same authority to go around and laying hands on the sick, casting out devils. The sick will recover. So, you know, so the old temple was destroyed. The old priesthood was done away with. But now there's a new priesthood. And we are those priests. Actually, we're a king and a priest. And he's our king. But we're under kings to Jesus. We're priests. Again, the Holy of Holies was no longer the home of the Holy Spirit. We are now the home of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you think it twice before you do something wrong. Amen. God is living on here. If you had that, if you really believed that, there would be some goofy things we wouldn't be doing. Amen. All right. It's funny, I came in here today and first person to actually preach in that building, the other building, was Jesse Duplantis. And when I came in here today, Tom had Jesse Duplantis, a CD of Jesse Duplantis up there. I said, man, son of a gun. He's as crazy as a loon. You know that, don't you? Anyway, Jesus fulfilled the law. You know, the priest's duties ended within 50 or 70 years after Jesus hung on the cross. When the last high priest died, that was the end of the priesthood. It was no longer in there. Jesus made a sacrifice for sin forever. Forever. You know? Isaiah chapter 53, we read that so often. We know about it and we read about it so often in Isaiah 53. You know, matter of fact, it's so good, let's read it. You know what? When you read this, in verse 1, who has believed our report? See, there's people that don't believe the report about Jesus. And when they don't believe that report about Jesus, it doesn't do them any good. You know, we're amazing. We read the newspaper. We watch Fox News, CNN, NBC, ABC, CBS, all the news channels. And we believe all the reports that they give us. How do we know they're real? You know, my big thing was, how do we know a man landed on the moon? Because they showed us some pictures. Anybody in this room ever been to Russia? Put your hand down. You don't count. You don't count either. You military people don't. Those of you who've never been to Russia, how do you know it's there? Because Mike said he was there. If Mike said he was, I've never been to Russia. How do I know they ever were on the moon? Oh, they brought back moon rocks. Get them same rocks in the desert. Think about it. We believe so many reports about so many different things. Yet people don't want to believe this report. And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Wow. And then it goes on and it talks about how he suffered. How he, verse 4, surely he had borne our griefs, our sicknesses, and carried our sorrows, our pains. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of his peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. I find that really interesting. These are just one of the benefits of believing the report. Okay. By his stripes we were healed. Everybody say, we were healed. Say it three times. We were healed. Okay, I'm going to read you another verse of scripture here in a minute. As soon as I find it, it's not mine. Took me for real, didn't he? All right. Let's see. Where is it? What? That's it. That's the problem here. Where's Peter? Hold it. What is going on here? Oh, there is no 1 Peter 2:24. Would you believe 1 Peter 2:24? 2 Peter 2:24? Really? Anybody want to make a bet? 1 Peter. He was saying 2 Peter. Oh. Better change that one. Anyway, back over to Isaiah. Hold your place in 1 Peter. It says, by his stripes you are healed. Are healed. Everybody say, are healed. He didn't even go to the cross yet. And Isaiah is saying, by his stripes you are healed. And we get over to 1 Peter 2:24, who himself bore our sins in his own body on a tree, that we, having died to sins, that might live, and by whose stripes you were healed. So if you are, you were. If you were, you are. You're healed. It's a no-brainer, man. Can't even argue with it. He prophesied of it. Jesus went to the cross. And now 1 Peter says, hey, you were healed. Well, when were we healed? When God created the heavens and the earth, in his eyes, that's when you were healed. Amen. Problem is, Adam and Eve came along and blew it. Amen. And sin came. You know, sickness is a direct result of sin. Now, stop right there before everybody goes out of here crazy. Just because you're sick doesn't mean you sinned, okay? Amen. But sickness itself, its root is in the sin of Adam and Eve. There were no sickness. There was no sicknesses on the earth before Adam and Eve sinned. And they lived to be 900 years old. So it took all that time for the sickness, for the sin to propagate through the earth and through the people, excuse me, before it started killing them. You understand what I'm saying? So sickness has its roots in original sin. But he came and redeemed us from the curse of the law, which is poverty, sickness, and spiritual death. Can you say amen? I need to drink some water. Getting one of them spills. Amen. So, it's interesting. There was something in the Old Testament. After the Passover, they had to do something every year on the Day of Atonement. Something they had to do. And see, Jesus fits it perfectly. See, today we're free. I'm free. I'm happy because I am free today.
Yes,
all right? And I'll never let the devil steal my freedom. You can let the devil steal your freedom. You can let him bind you up, make you miserable and unhappy. But I refuse to do that.
Yes,
oh, I have challenges just like you. Things don't go right the way I think they should. You know, things don't happen on my time frame, but I'm not going to let that ruin my. I'm not going to let that ruin my walk with the Lord. Thank you. You're right. Count it all joy. So, but again, he was delivered up for our offenses, and was raised because of our justification. Amen. And now in Leviticus, what happened? What happened? They would have to, when the Day of Atonement came, they would have to. And it was a yearly event, okay? And the people, their sins would be covered, okay? On the Day of Atonement. Their sins would be covered. They'd do a sacrifice, and their sins would be covered. They were never washed away. Their conscience was never washed clean. They always had that sin consciousness. That's the problem with half the believers in the body of Christ. They have a sin consciousness instead of a righteousness consciousness. See, when you have a righteousness consciousness in your life, then you don't be thinking about sin. Amen? If you have righteousness consciousness. Okay. Anyway, so, but we have a sin consciousness. And we need to change that. That's called stinking thinking. Amen. You hear people talk about it all that time, you know, I'm a sinner, saved by grace. No, you were a sinner. Grace saved you. Amen. Now you're the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen. Big difference. You start thinking those ways. But anyway, so they would get two goats, okay? One was to be killed and his blood shed to cover their sin. The other goat was called the scapegoat. And what the priest would do, you can read it, it's in Leviticus chapter 16, verse 8, 10, 26. Just read the whole chapter. You'll learn something. I could go here and read it to you, but you're not going to learn nothing. If you read it, you'll learn something, okay? And some of you are going to, and it's interesting because in some of the, I don't know, we've got to get them signs that say, turn off your cell phones. You know, I had to go to court a while back, and the cop got up and he says, here are the rules. Take your hats off. You're in the courtroom. Little respect. Second thing he said, turn your cell phone off, because if you don't, and it rings, I'm coming and take your cell phone, and you can get it after court's over. All right. Anyway, back to where we were. We forget it. Listen, the most horrific thing that ever happened to me was I was at Rhema one time, and I was sitting on the front row right where Louie is, and Keith Moore was speaking. And my cell phone went off. And I just put my head down. Because he stopped preaching for about, felt like 10 minutes. And he just stood there, and I answered it, you know, and he's just standing just like this. And finally he says, well, Tony, take care of business. So that's why my cell phone's in a whole nother room right now. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Not ain't whistling no more. Was before, though. So anyway, let's get back to this. I mean, put nobody down. We all do it. My wife does it, too. But she forgets her cell phone. Thing I'm gonna do, like, you know what we're gonna do? We're gonna get a little basket. And you know how in the old West they had to put their guns, like, everybody's gotta put their cell phone. Because you see people back there. Amen. And they use the excuse, well, I'm following you in the Bible. No, you ain't. Not when the words are up on the screen, you're not. I don't know. Who are you kidding? You think I was born at night, but not last night. Tell my grandkids, don't give me no excuse. I know I wrote the book. So anyway, see, what we have to understand, the wages of sin is spiritual death. Okay? So anyway, back to the scapegoat. The scapegoat, in some of your Bibles, newer translations, it's called Azel. And Azel is another name for Satan. So what would happen? They'd kill the one goat, they'd put the blood on the altar, and their sin would be covered, but not washed away. You know, it's like if I get this and make a scrape on this Bible, and then I go get a dye and put dye on it, and then get some wax and fix it up. The scratch is still there. It's just covered up. You know those things they sell on television for your furniture? Scratch is still there. But if you have somebody, if you go out and buy a new one, then the scratch isn't there no more. Okay, so their sins were just covered. And after that, now the priest would symbolically, they'd bring this goat up to the priest, and the priest would lay his hands on that goat. And he would symbolically transfer all the sins of the nation of Israel to the goat. Then the strong man would come, and he would take that goat into the wilderness. Far out into the wilderness. Until they got to a cliff, and the goat would go off the cliff. And see, that's a perfect picture of Jesus. On the cross, his body was killed. His spirit, God put his hands on Jesus' spirit and transferred all the sin of the world to his spirit. And he was led by the strong man into the pits of hell. But there was one little big difference. Little big difference. After three nights, on the third day, Jesus came back from the pit. Can you say amen? So yeah, his body was sacrificed, but his spirit was brought into the abyss for us to pay the price. And it says in the book of Colossians, we'll close with this. Music ministry, you can come back up here. In the book of Colossians, I love this. Oh, man. Colossians. It says, and this is what Jesus did. And Sunday, I think we'll play that video because it's more apropos on Sunday morning. It says, having disarmed, Jesus disarmed, everybody say disarmed.
Disarmed.
Principalities and powers. And he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. I was just reading a book, and it talked about how in this particular book, it actually was talking about Islamic radicals in the 1700s, how whenever they would take they were pirates on the Barbary Coast, and whenever they would plunder a ship, they would take all the crew of the ship and strip them naked and humiliate them and walk them down the streets of Tripoli. Jesus stripped Satan of all his authority and marched him through the streets of heaven and totally humiliated him. I am here to tell you tonight, he has no authority or power over you whatsoever, only what you let him do. Can you say, that is it. That is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads and pray tonight before we're dismissed. Father, we praise you and we thank you for your word. Thank you for everyone in this room tonight, Lord. Lord, if anyone is in this room tonight and they've never, ever received the free gift, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you don't earn it, you don't deserve it. He just gave it to you because he loves you. You have to believe the report. Because if you don't believe that report and receive Jesus into your heart as your Savior, then it does you absolutely no good. No good. No good. So if you're in this room tonight and you've never made Jesus Christ your Savior, and I tell people, how do you know if Jesus Christ is your Savior or not? It's real simple. If you were to die tonight, do you know you're going to heaven? If you don't know for sure that you go to heaven, then you need Jesus in your heart. You need to receive resurrection power. Can you say amen? So if there's anyone here who wants to pray, I want to put your hand up. We'll pray with you tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. Look up here at me. Just think Thursday morning, Sunday morning. It's going to be a great service. Jesus, the first fruits, will be risen from the dead. Can you say amen?
Amen.
What a glorious, glorious, glorious day.
Yes.
The greatest day
yes.
in Christianity
yes,
is
Lord,
Jesus
amen.
Christ being raised from the dead.
Thank you, Jesus.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Where are you there?
Hallelujah. Go ahead. Thank you.